How great is the love our Father has lavished on us, that we might be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Amen. Have you needed any encouragement lately? I know that's a silly question. I actually ask it to make a point. Do you know anyone who hasn't needed some encouragement lately? This has been one rough patch for the whole world these last 10 months or so. And now, there doesn't appear to be any let-up coming anytime soon. And those who would prescribe for us how to observe the coming holidays have put out all of their decrees and information. And if you spent any time at all reading any of that or listening to any of that, I guarantee you, when you're done, you're going to need some encouragement. At our moment in history and culture, distractions often have replaced encouragement as the go-to, get-past-the-moment strategy. But many of our preferred distractions are not available to us at the moment for any number of reasons. So many people have more time on their hands to think, time to wonder, time to worry, time to reminisce and perhaps return to the pain of losses of life to grieve a little more. And there is plenty to grieve. And there is really only one answer to that grief. It's God's answer. God does not want us in any way to be uncertain of the bigger picture of sin and life and death and afterlife. God has long been very specific and very clear on these issues. Today, as we acknowledge the triumphant believers, the triumphant Christian saints, whose outcome of their lives has them now in heaven, having left us during the past year, the lesson from Paul's letter to the Thessalonian Christians was chosen long ago for us to give us answers, to give us knowledge, and most certainly to give us encouragement. So let's encourage each other with these words. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Start a conversation just about anywhere on the topic of death and life after death, and you will harvest a boatload of ideas, beliefs, and conjecture. Ignorance of these issues abounds in the world in which we live. It always has. Think for just a moment how often you have heard someone say, "I just know my dear late grandfather or my spouse, or my best friend who died last year was looking down on me in that moment and was helping me get through this or that. You know how often you have heard it. Our culture loves to believe everyone is happy in the afterlife, and that everyone in the afterlife is somehow still engaged in this life, and that dead people have some kind of mystical power over positive forces that can benefit our lives right now. You know how prevalent that thinking is. And every word of it is pure superstition that contradicts everything that God has clearly told us in His Word about life and death and life after death. Death is the end of engagement in this world for every human soul. At death, our souls and our bodies separate. The body remains in this existence. The soul returns to God for processing, if you want to call it that. The soul of the believer, welcomed in the presence of God to repose there with God until judgment day. The soul of the unbeliever, experiencing the punishment and pain and the agony of separation from God until judgment day, when things only get worse. Scripture is extremely clear and consistent in leaving absolutely no other options or opportunities. There are only two possible outcomes when every single human life has ended. And neither of those outcomes has any connection to, knowledge of, or interaction with life that continues going on in this world. And our Savior, God, does not want us to be ignorant of these truths. Not for our own sakes. And also not so that we won't grieve our dead fellow believers the way the world grieves, the unbelieving, ignorant world grieves and wonders. Every single person we have ever known or will ever know that who has died in saving faith in Jesus Christ is currently resting blissfully in God's presence waiting for the resurrection. And every single person we have ever known or will ever know that dies without saving faith in Jesus Christ is currently in a world of enormous hurt and always will be. Do those two simple truths kind of take your breath away as you contemplate them? You and I have hope. You and I rejoice and praise our God for leading our believing loved ones to saving faith. And you and I also understand the profound work we have to do, the profoundly important work that we have in front of us if we have loved ones or others that we care about who do not know and understand, trust, believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Every single soul will rise again, whether they believe in the resurrection or not. And at the moment Jesus returns, every single soul that has ever died will be awakened by the voice of Jesus and the trumpet call of God. These words tell us that those who died in saving faith will immediately be at Jesus' side. They will return with him. And those who are still alive at that moment on Judgment Day will meet them instantly with Jesus to be with him for a mind-blowing celebration of eternal joy and peace. Paul says it so simply but triumphantly. We will be with the Lord forever. And then he adds at the end of this lesson, therefore encourage each other with these words. Encourage one another to believe. Encourage one another to hope. Encourage one another to witness to this world about these very truths of God in His Word, because they are essential to the eternal outcome of every single soul. Encourage one another, especially when we gather for a funeral of someone we love. Encourage each other to find hope, comfort, certainty in God's eternal promises that are so simple and straightforward. Encourage one another every day of our lives, and especially on Saints Triumphant Weekend, to cling tightly to the knowledge of every last thing that God clearly tells us about life and death and the afterlife. We need to encourage each other with these words. We must encourage each other with these words, with these very words. Every single day, we will be confronted with what the world believes and attempts to draw comfort from. And the devil will stop at nothing to get our ears and our minds and our hearts turned toward all of the ideas, listening to all of that ignorance and the sinful nature that still rages at times inside each one of us, battling Christ's presence in us, would simply love to turn us toward some belief that makes the afterlife about us, about what we do, about what we want, about what we prefer. So we follow the apostles' directive continually. Encourage each other with these words so that our hope, so that our knowledge will always be centered on and around Jesus Christ. He has all the answers, the only answers, the certain and eternal answers that our hearts long to dwell upon. For there, we know, we find true comfort, real hope, lasting peace, the promise of resurrection. Encourage each other with these words, God's words, the only words of eternal life. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.